Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, Knowing Kindness, with a special guest today, Matt Gill. He is one of the master storytellers and teaches you how to tell your story. He is part of the Do the Damn Thing Nation, which I am a proud member of, and Do the Damn Thing family. If it wasn't for Matt, you wouldn't be listening to me today on the radio. Welcome, Matt. How are you doing?
Thank you, Mary, for having me, and thank you for that amazing intro. When you said that, I was like, oh, my heart just like swelled up. So thank you so much for having me as a guest today.
Oh, it's an honor is all mine, because, you've had the challenge of dealing with me for the last year, and from where I started to where I am now is phenomenal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, it's
yeah.
Because of you and Tiffany.
Amen. Amen. And I wouldn't even look at it as a challenge. I would say that it's been a blessing to work with you and to watch you begin to, one, realize, huh, what is my story, and then move from a place of looking at what is my story to how do I use my story, and then to watch you stepping into, hey, I need to tell my story more and show up more so that more people can hear my story, more people can be impacted, and then here we are today on the radio and you sharing your story and sharing your expertise and your passion for people loving and truly just showing up more authentically, more kind, more loving. And all we did was we just guided a conversation with you and you did the work and here you are. So I celebrate you, Mary.
Thank you. Oh, no, you have a great story too, in this of how you went from struggling in life to becoming who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love if you would
for sure
willing to share a little bit about that.
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, I created at a very young age, I created a belief that in order for me to be seen, in order for me to be acknowledged, in order for people to really just acknowledge that I'm here on this planet, I felt like I had to do things for people, which then created a belief that my, how I validated myself was based on other people's opinions, based on whether they liked me, based on whether they wanted to be around me, based on if they were in touch with me. And that's how I validated myself versus validating me just for being me. And so growing up, I would always be constantly sacrificing my dreams, what I wanted to do, for the sake of other people. I would say yes when I wanted to say no. I would put my dreams behind. I would be the person that everybody knew to go to, but yet I was so tired by the end of the day that I didn't have time to even build the things that I wanted to do or the dreams that I wanted. And it wasn't until the moment that I began to go through and really look at myself and be like, hey, Matt is pretty dope. Matt is a really cool dude. That all of a sudden things began to change. And it started with telling my story. It started with me owning my story. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There was a point in my life where I was so hurt and so frustrated and so felt so lost. One, I was ashamed of some of the choices that I had made. I had felt like I had gotten myself into such a huge hole that I didn't know how to ask for help, nor was I willing to ask for help because I was embarrassed. I was like, how the heck did I get myself in such a huge mess? You know, I grew up in LA. I was introduced to the entertainment industry. I got caught up and excited about the nightlife of the industry, of the Hollywood life, of going out and going to the parties and going to the club and drinking. At a one of these experiences, I was introduced to crystal meth, and I began a journey, a 6.5-year journey of numbing my feelings, numbing how I was emotionally feeling, because I wasn't owning my truth. Growing up gay in a very Christian family, in a space where being gay was not accepted, and according to everybody else, I was going to hell for it. I became very kind of secluded. I didn't know who to ask for help. I didn't, you know, in some groups I was ostracized. In other groups and family and friends and the people that loved me the most, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to go ask for their help, because then I would have to admit from the choices that I was making that I was trying to hide from them. And so I kind of almost made myself feel even more alone, because I didn't want to reach out to anybody and I didn't know who to ask for help. The truth of the matter is that it wasn't until I began to love myself in a space of loving myself unconditionally with the good, the bad, and the ugly, that I began to make change. And it first started off with the fact that, I need to admit that I need help. Like, that was the first thing. I need somebody to help me out. You know, I remember that there was the time I was at a friend's house, and that, mind you, I had been using FOMS for about 6 years. I was 125 pounds at 5'10". My face was sucked in. I was probably about a 26-inch waist. Like, I remember having a 28-inch weight belt and it being too big, because I wasn't eating. I had gone for many days with no nutrition. And I remember seeing myself in the mirror and hearing a voice that said, "This is not who you are." And I fell to my knees and I began to just sob. It's like that, you know, that crying that you just cry and you let everything out. It's more of like a wail.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that many times because of you.
Not a bad thing.
Because it's the truth. Right. But it's the truth. It's the truth that you feel inside, which is why that wail comes out, because it's such a release of the hurt and the pain that we hold on to. And so I had that moment where I just was like crying hysterically and wailing and releasing and letting go of so much of the hurt and the pain that I had created for myself. You know, I couldn't blame anybody else. It was my own doing. But at that moment, I knew that something had to change. And that's where I began my healing journey. That's when I got introduced into personal development. And I began a journey of emotional literacy and emotional helpiness, of learning how to put my words into words, learning how to take accountability for the choices that I had made, learning to heal through those experiences. And then fast forward, many, many years later, 14 years later, after stepping on to hundreds of stages, impacting over 40 million people worldwide, both in live events, virtual, through YouTube, and traveling the world, helping people begin to heal. It was when I stepped into the Do the Damn Thing campus and met Tiffany Largie, who's the CEO of Do the Damn Thing, and she challenged me to tell my story at a deeper level, to really begin to tell the ugly parts of my story. And the minute that I came out publicly, and that was one of the ways, you know, I lived a life of those that knew me knew that I was gay, but I didn't go and step on stage and be like, "Hi, I'm the gay guy." Like, you know, I felt like if, you know, somebody asked, I have no problem telling them. But I'm just going to be right here, and I'm going to tell a piece of my story that I know people will approve of. I'm going to tell the piece of the story that what I call the filtered piece of the story. It's the part of my story that my family approves of. It's a part of the story that I know people can handle versus telling the whole truth. A lot of times when we tell our story, we tell a piece of our story. And because we tell so many different pieces of our story, we're never complete and we're never whole. It's like if you think about how we show up with different people in our lives. For example, there are times that we show up differently with our friends than we do with our family. And when we show up with our friends, we can be cool, we can hang out, we can laugh, we can tell sometimes inappropriate jokes, and it'd be okay. But then when we're family, we're a little bit more protected, we're a little bit more secure, we're a little bit more reserved, or vice versa. You know, when you go to we have the person that shows up at church, and so the church people know us a certain way. We go to work, and our work people know us a certain way. But the truth of the matter is that no matter where you are or what group, you're still the same person. We only show a piece of ourselves that we feel the people around us can handle, or if they judge us, they're going to judge us a certain way. The truth of the matter is that we walk around life managing other people's insecurities.
Ariana, no.
We're afraid of them judging. Say that
Ariana,
again.
Ariana, go.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead, Matt. I was going to say, you know, the one thing that you really emphasize, and you've done it, well, four times talking about your story, is the bad and the ugly. You know, you look at social media today, everybody wants to portray this perfect life, this happy, make lots of money, be this great person, and not show the struggles. And it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's just exhausting.
And it's actually, it is exhausting.
Ariana,
and the
go.
Truth of the matter is, it's the ugly part of our lives that actually people need to hear, because it's the part that they're going to resonate with. You know, if you look at individuals, I believe that when we were birthed onto this planet, when we were birthed into this experience called life as a human, we all came onto this planet with the same ingredients. We all came with the same amount of courage. We all came with the same amount of trust. We all came with the same amount of love. We all came with the same amount of determination. We all came with the same amount of honesty. All of the positive, powerful qualities that we see in individuals, I believe that we all came equipped with the same amount of that. However, then as we are born, we experience life. And depending on where we are born at or who we're born to, our experiences look different. Now follow me here. So we all have the same amount of stuff, but yet then life begins to happen. And there are things that are said to us or things that are done to us that begin to block us from the ingredients that we came with. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
we talk a lot about
so
on our show about mindset and how to persevere. We talk about the problems, but we focus on solutions to give you that next step and how to
correct.
Live the best life.
Mm-hmm. So if you think we all came with the same amount of stuff and then life happens, things that are said to us or done to us, like, for example, we're growing up, and as a kid, we're told, you talk too much. Or, you know, growing up in my age or my generation, you know, I'm 47. I'm going to be 47 next week. And growing up, I grew up at a time where kids were seen and not heard. And so, mm-hmm. therefore, I was told I talk too much as a kid, which for most people would then turn people and be like, oh, I can't talk, so I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to become shy because I can't talk. So somebody has put something else on top of us that blocks us from our boldness, that blocks us from our courageousness. Now we think then something else happens. Somebody says, mm-hmm. oh, you're dumb or you're not smart. And now we're going through and we believe, maybe I am not very smart. Maybe I am dumb. And so we turn what somebody told us into, you're dumb, and so then we begin to believe it, and so then we start to say, oh, I'm dumb, or I'm shy, or I'm not good enough. And so now we're even blocking the boldness, the love, the curiosity, the determination, all of those positive qualities that we have in ourselves. Now we're blocking them even more because we've taken what somebody else has said to us, and now we believe it, and now we're turning it into, I'm not good enough. I'm too dumb. I can't do that. But the truth of the matter is your positive, powerful qualities have not gone anywhere. They're still there. They're just we have blocked access to them. And telling your story and owning your story is beginning the process of accessing your qualities again. Does that make sense?
It makes
make
perfect
a lot of sense.
Country boy, you had a comment.
Joseph on the phone. Joseph.
I sounded like he was talking about me. I thought maybe he might have been my Siamese twin. First, I got a couple, two or three questions already. First of all, when I first started hearing you speak, as we grow older, our eyes don't focus like they used to. So I turned my car into Drive Time University. My first question is where we get your audio book, because for you just being able to have enough courage to speak the way you're speaking now, I know you've grown past it, because they used to always say, well, how do you know you're over something? We can talk about what you went through and it doesn't hurt anymore. As you was talking, I was starting to think that cleansing cry. I remember I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. He says, I was waiting for you to say that. I was leaning on my own fleshly strength, and that's when I had a spiritual encounter after being bullied, after being raised in the Northeast Georgia mountains in what we call White County, after being neighbors with the KKK, and after being weak. That's when the divine creator stepped in and says, but you're strong. At the same time, at the early age, I told my story the other day about working with Xavier Roberts and the Cabbage Patch Dolls. With me being an Afro-American male, hanging out with children and playing with baby dolls wasn't really cool where I came from. But when I graduated, after spending 12 years of my life in college, I found out that when I wrote my English paper when I was in my second year of college, I kind of came to a conclusion that most of the people I know, I'm not talking about the people you know, most of the people I knew and was around were bipolar. I worked in the church nursery for 20-something years with 6 months to 3 years of age, and I taught baby talk. But when I graduated to prison ministry, it wasn't no boo-boo, ga-ga kind of conversation. As you stated earlier, when you're hanging out with your best friends, you can be a little bit more free and spirit at will and do some things and tell some obnoxious jokes like I normally do. But if your family's present, then you may not go there. So all of us, again, are equipped with those things that you said, and we're able to turn those things off and on as we please. But when you're being the one that's being shuffled the down portion of the deck, you don't really know where to turn to. You don't know what to go. And then list the last one, and I'll turn it back over to you, sir, because I really love hearing you speak. I say it over and over and over to me again. One of my best lessons in life is my granddaddy. He's still speaking in my spirit. He says, let me tell you something, country boy. You cannot control what no one else thinks. You cannot control what no one else says, and you cannot control what no one else does. One's worst enemy, they always said, is oneself, and we find ourselves prisoners, locked up in our own minds, using ignorance as an excuse to keep us blind. We actually are intelligent enough to scare ourselves to death, but when somebody throws a little fuel of downgrading on the fire, you start to believe what people are saying about you. In the end, you lose yourself. Back to you, sir.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you, brother, for your input. And yes, 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 to what you just said. And was your granddaddy?
Yes, sir, my granddaddy.
I think it was your Your granddaddy, yep. What he said is what we call money here at Do the Damn Thing. Meaning that is so good, that is so true, that is money. The truth of the matter is other people's opinion of you is truly none of your business. Other people's opinions, what they're saying, what they're doing, is, and you can't control it, and it's really none of your business. Your responsibility is to show up authentically, to show up real. The good, the bad, and the ugly. As you felt connected and you felt like I was telling your story when by me sharing mine, we could not have this connection if I came on here and I was like, oh, life is just wonderful. I have lived a perfect life. You know, I am so happy. Everything has gone so well. You know, I showed up and I had this challenge, and man, it was great. The response was wonderful. Everybody loved me, and I love them. That's a lie. And then you wouldn't feel connected to me. The connection.
Paul Harvey would jump right in the middle of your conversation and said, and now for the rest of the story, what are you not telling us is what everybody's thinking?
So the beautiful part of telling your story and showing up is that when you share the good and the bad and the good, the bad and that ugly that has the emotion. You know, there are many, like if you look at your story has three parts. Your story has the beginning, the middle, and the end. Here at Do the Damn Thing, we teach people how to tell their story in three sentences. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, of like, how can I tell my whole life story in three sentences? And the truth is that when you get to the core of your story, the core of my story is that I created a belief that that my validation came from other people. That's like the first part. So growing up as a kid, I created a belief that in order for me to be seen, heard, or validated, I had to do for other people. That's the beginning of my story. The middle of my story is I would sacrifice my own body, my belief, my actions to please other people. It wasn't until the moment that I created my own belief in myself and owned my story that things began to change. That's the middle of the story. That's the part of when I'm starting to change the outcome. And the end of my story is, and because I've owned my story, I have stepped on thousands of stages, hundreds of stages worldwide. I show up authentically to my family events. I remove people in my life that are toxic, that are taking away from me versus feeding me.
No, I understand. No, I got it.
See how the more I'm starting to... As you begin to dissect and you begin to tell your story, all of a sudden you just found yourself in what I just said. That's why telling your story and being open about your story, whether people are going to like it or not. The truth of the matter is, even my own parents, they don't like hearing some of the stories that I share, but the thing is, it's my truth. It's my truth.
And the crazy part about that is, go ahead. The crazy part about that is, I have a little saying is, the truth is the truth is the truth until it isn't. So what happens in the process of people bullying you, people being jealous of you, and I found out the original origin of the word jealousy is they see something in you that they wish they had. I wish I was you. Those, especially if you go out on social media, and I'm not very much a social media person, but I'll use that as your example. All the names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent. My granddaddy used to tell me, go granddaddy again, baby, when you get out there in life, people in the world don't know nothing about you. They don't care nothing about you. Whatever you put out there comes back at you. So if you're a good, positive person and tell those good, positive stories, eventually it will come back to you. But if you put something good into a bad person's mouth, it can still come out bad. You can put bad stuff into a good person's mouth, and it'll come out good. But see, when you get caught in the mixer, you shouldn't judge people, but all of a sudden you only can hear what the sidelines are saying about you. Be raised in a family that has seven brothers, and two of those brothers are bigger than me, macho men, personality, difference. But guess what? If they throw you in the pit, what do you do? And this is the last part. I'm going to turn it back to you again. In the midst, you call it a story, and most people in the space, in the spirit, calls it a testimony. If you hear the first portion of the word test, it's just what it is. Moni means song or story. You won't have a song or story until you go through what you just went through. You talked about the Alpha. You talked about the Omega, the beginning and the end, but he didn't tell us the in-between. We call it, you may have trials. You may have tribulations. You may have to go through some stuff that's not so good for you, but here's the last one. Where you're weak, I'll make you strong. I'll take the pain that you went through. I'll take that road that you had to go that nobody else was going on. I'll take it when they were standing in the spotlight, but you had to stand in their shadow. I'll take your weak, and that's why I'll make you strong. So with you standing up right now and putting on the full armor of courage and righteousness, now you're able to, like I say, probably perform and stand on any stage in the world that you would have and share your story / testimony. And they say, now that this guy's been through it, he made it through it, look at him, maybe I can do it too. So you are such an inspiration. We certainly welcome you to be on our show. And let me shut up long enough. I'm one of those people that talks a lot. So you can go ahead and continue to share your story, because it really is enlightening.
Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you, brother. And I love that you bring in the faith and the important part of the importance of faith, because I will tell you that there's no possible way that I could be where I am today had I not had God around and his divine protection as I explored life, as I explored this experience that's happening here on earth. There was a part of during my dark, what I call my dark period, which was that 6.5 years of using crystal meth, because I believe crystal meth steals your soul. I believe that the body cannot function, the spirit will not function when it is under the intoxication of the drug, and that this drug that I was putting into my body created what I felt like was a separation, but God was always there. I just wasn't acknowledging him. And it wasn't until that moment when I was on the ground crying for help that I was like, God, if you are still there, I ask that you help me get through this. And what I heard was, I have never left you. I have never left you. He was always there, even though I pushed him away. I pushed the faith away. And I pushed away faith because I was so ashamed and embarrassed of how I was showing up, because I knew that how I was showing up was not truly me. I didn't have the joy. I didn't have the laughter. I didn't have the peace of mind that I once had. And it wasn't until the moment that I said, God, if you're still there and if you are truly real, then I need help. And God began to show me how to get back to me. When I got back to me, I was back to him. Because the spirit lives within us. We are children of God. God lives in us. And the minute that I got back to me was a minute that I reconnected in direct conversation with God. But he never left me. And faith is the one thing it's our strongest and most powerful tool that we don't tap into. And part of it is because of this, the different stories or the different experiences that we've had with religion, organized religion. Mm-hmm. But God is so much greater than a particular religion. God is everything. And that is what truly helped me get to a place of healing, was tapping back into God and into what he can do in my life. And that's what gave me the courage to show up, first heal and begin to tell my story. And to your point that you said at the very beginning, I can tell my story now without, I still feel the hurt, I still feel the emotion, but I don't get caught up in my story. I've learned, because I've shared my story over and over and over again, it no longer has the power that it had to pull me down. I now get to stand on my story. And I now get to use my story as a platform. I get to use my story as a place to say, hey, everybody, listen, if you ever feel like you are not enough, if you ever feel like you are doing for everybody else and leaving yourself behind, if you ever feel like you have made decisions in your life that have compromised your beliefs, your integrity, and how you show up, you are not alone, because I have done it. And let me share part of my story with you so that I give you permission to own your story. By me telling my story, I give you permission to own your story. But if I'm not willing to step onto the stage first, and I say stage, it could be an actual physical stage, or it could be just showing up in social media. It could be a stage of just having a conversation one-on-one. If I'm not willing to do that, then other people aren't given the permission that they need to free themselves. Owning your story and telling your story gives you the freedom to live your truth. It gives you the freedom to show up authentically. Now, what might happen through that process is there's going to be people that are like, you know what, juices, I'm out. I can't handle this truth, or I don't like the truth. And so they may leave your life, and that's okay, because if they're not willing to be with you in your truth, then they shouldn't be around you anyway.
Mary and I was talking about it. She puts it in a form. When you let, my grandmama's favorite song was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." When you let your little light shine, it unconsciously, did y'all hear that word? Unconsciously allows somebody else to let their little light shine. Smile, and the world will smile back at you. Frown. And the world will frown back at you. So again, your light now is your testimony on how you overcome. But if you understand what he was saying, Jesus, the divine creator, the power source, the ultimate power, if you know about an outlet, if you ask most people, do they have an outlet in their house, they'll tell you yeah. And I said, well, what does the outlet do? It has a lot of power. Did y'all hear that word? A lot of power in there. But the outlet, you, is absolutely useless until you plug it into something or something plugs into you. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So when we stumble away from the power source, we're powerless. You can bring my coffee maker over and plug it into the outlet, and now I'm capable. I'm doing what I've been put here to do. What's that? Make hot coffee. I love it hot. Either you're hot or you're cold. You're lukewarm. You're not. No, you're in coffee. So back to you, sir. But again,
you know,
by you letting your little light shine, it's really turning the light on other people, and we're grinning through the phone, and we're with you. We're standing with you because we want to let our little light shine too.
Yes, sir.
You know, Country Boy, you talk a lot about your testimony. Well, the way that Matt and Tiffany and the Do the Damn Thing Nation teaches you to tell your story, your testimony is your bridge or your middle of your story towards your end of your story. You use your testimony
to show how you've overcome your obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at this. I figured it out.
Yes. Yes,
you got it. You got it, girl. You got it. You got it. You're smart.
Hey, it's taken me a lot of questions to get to this point.
That's it. It's no end. The ending part when you're deceived from this world, you have left the energy of being real, connected back
wow.
to God as innocent.
Wow. Yes, he
you don't bring
us
back
out of
no
eternity.
Back. Yes.
He took
That's
us
it.
Out of eternity.
He took
and
you
placed
out of
us
all
in
that
time.
Pain. He took you out of all that pain by your story being real with yourself. You can't change people, places, and situation, but you change your perceptions, how you deal with people with your image. That's it.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds like some truth.
I want
coming through the airways.
And that, Joseph, is what I've been trying to explain to you about how to tell
You've
your story.
I've been trying to bring it to me for a long time, and I finally got it. I've been trying to change people. And I got it from watching my mom being abused by my father because she would cook and do all this stuff, and this man was still never satisfied, and he would get up at 6 in the morning to cook and then eat a little bit, and that was – and I got angry with that. I'm like, why do people do what they do? And then I realized where he came from. He wasn't the man in the house. He wasn't in control of the house, so he took it upon himself of his negativity to control others. We pick up these behaviors when we're young, and I picked up those behaviors, insecure. And one thing that I didn't understand, my stepfather's father was gay, and he would, and I'm a little kid, and he said, "What do that faggot want?" And I would get on the phone and say that, and my mom said, no, don't ever repeat what he said. And I didn't realize I was hurting another human being by listening to someone giving me wrong information. As I got older, I realized that. I became biased and anger toward other people by learning what I've learned as a child.
Right.
And my mom instilled love in me. To teach me.
I can relate, Joseph. We didn't have Madea when I grew up. We had a guy. Y'all have to Google this guy. We had a guy in our culture. His name was Flip Wilson,
right.
Dressed up like a woman, like Madea. And they would ask him, "Well, Flip, why are you like that? And why you act like this?" And why he said, "The devil made me do it." So automatically, he put a label. Did y'all hear that word? A label on his life and his lifestyle because he was uniquely different. I told him the other day when I was telling my story, when everybody wore bell bottoms, that was a style of blue jeans back then, before Levi's, pistol leg jeans. When everybody had on bell bottoms, I had on pistol leg jeans. I used to dress up in my mama's clothes all the time. I broke my arm running around in her high heels and found out you can't go downstairs like that. You fast with high heels on and lipstick. They don't quite fit in. So I spent 20 years in the nursery running and working with kids. And if I bought Mr. Buchanan's little son in Joseph and took him to the bathroom, he sit down to pee. And I'm thinking, that ain't the way you do it, Joseph. This is how we do it. So, again, here's my last one. The divine creator took us out of eternity and placed us in time. When we was born into this world, we didn't even know our own names. I said, I use Jesus to claim my fame. But what happens in the process? They gave you a name, Joseph Buchanan, and they called you. Grandma, when they called me out of my name, she said, "What they call you?" I said, "They called me Big Head." She said, "Did you answer?" They wasn't talking to you. So when you went by, they called you a little faggot, you little gay dude. And you had, that was before you were supposed to come out of the closet with your personality. So they made you think you're supposed to put your personality back in the closet and cover it up with something, maybe a cloak.
They were saying that too.
Maybe camouflage, Mary. Maybe you should have came out of the closet with camouflage on so wouldn't nobody recognize you.
So I got to change this. I can't be labeled this way. I got to change this. And I became too hard. And
blend
I'm like,
in.
Where is my fun at? What?
Man, maybe you need to blend in more.
They were telling me, I had curly hair. My dad, he took me to a man that messed up my hair. I mean, he put a bowl over my head and messed my hair up.
A bowl.
He said, look too pretty. He looked too pretty. I'm a man because I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what I will ask my mom. What do pretty mean, mom?
He didn't look too cute to be a boy. That's what they said about Michael Jackson, and he performed on every stage in the world. They say if he was gay, he wouldn't dance that way.
That's why Prince put a symbol out there. He said, let you guess.
Yeah, y'all can call me what you want to. I'm going to change my name to a symbol. Love. You can call me what you want to.
He said, whatever name you want,
you
know, just recognize that symbol.
The funny thing is, and we laugh about it, but the truth is that we have, because we were told that we had to be in the closet, because we felt the judgment of other people, because we felt like we weren't enough, we began to wear these masks. I'm too strong. I don't need anybody else's help. I'm always going to be the funny one. I'm going to be the strong one for the family. I'm going to be the one that disappears or doesn't. And we begin to wear these, or I'm always going to be the one that has all the answers. We wear masks because we're trying to show up the way we think people want us. And the truth is that we have a mask when we're our friends. We have a mask when we go to church. We have a mask when we go to work. We have a different mask when we're with family. And we begin to get so tired of having to change our mask based on where we are because we're not telling our truth. We're not honest to ourselves.
That make a lot of sense.
And so all of a sudden, we're like, why am I so tired all the time? Because you're living a lie.
You're being true. You're living a lie. You're saying too many things to too many people.
Right. You're living a lie. And you perpetuate that lie by continuing to not tell your story, telling your truth. The people that are supposed to be in your life are going to love you regardless. And the people that aren't, they're there for either a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yep.
And they will weed themselves out with the intent of their own heart. Because Maya Angelou says people will show you who they really are if you will only believe them. Grandmama says, baby, I'll be dead and gone, and chaos will hit the world, but do not be confused because we do not serve a God of confusion. Two sides to everything, good, bad, up, down, front, back, and people that come into your life, they come for one or two reasons. They either come to help you or to hurt you. They either come to give you something or take something from you. They're going to inspire you or yeah.
And you'll know
and
the people
wait,
that love
last
you.
One, last one, mm-hmm. last one. Mm-hmm. Alana Von Zant calls it the spiritual code of conduct. If anyone does anything or says anything that's not right or not just or not good, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we've been putting up, hey, what's up, Shawty? That ain't your name. People will call you stuff that doesn't fit your resume. And then just to remind you guys, before you was formed in your mama's, yeah, before you outran 3 million other sperms just to get into this life of existence, before there was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, before you just got up in the morning and decided what you was going to wear for today, before there was a tick or a talk, the divine creator says to you, Matt, says to you, Mary, says to you, Joseph, says to you, Ron Clayton, Rick Reese, and the whole crew. Before he says, I knew you, I had plans to prosper you, regardless on what anybody says, last part. I designed you. That's why I call him the design creator. I designed you in my own image to be a personal representative of me. Lynn Kane shows up and said, treat other people the way that you want to be treated. And we can't seem to be able to be polite, be kind. It doesn't cost you anything. Granddaddy says, if you ain't got nothing good, don't say nothing at all. But if a jealousy in you sees a light shining brighter than their light, they're going to belittle you. They're going to make fun of you. But you stood up in your courage and says, wait a minute, push the pause button. Let me go back and rethink this thing. Let me pray over this again. And you had a head-on collision with the one that created you and says, I am uniquely designed and crafted. Many might be called, but few are chosen. Matt, thanks for coming to our show because you are definitely one of the chosen ones. Back to you, sir.
Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you, brother. And listen, the truth of the matter is, if you to go onto Amazon and order some of those like $1 sunglasses, anytime you step into the room, you can tell people, listen, if my light is too bright for you, here's a pair of sunglasses. Come on, because I ain't going to be dimming my light for nobody. For nobody.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Nobody.
That's
nobody. Because the truth of the matter is, I have worked 2 days.
I never stole an idea that I couldn't use. Can I steal
that one? Can I borrow that one? I like them. Can I borrow that one?
You know, I'm down here in the ATL. That's the law down here. In the summertime, you got to wear your sunglasses and flip-flops with socks on.
No, it is all yours.
Is it copyright? I need to know. Can I borrow it?
You can borrow it. It is yours, brother. All you have to do is spend it one time, and then it becomes yours.
You trying to start a revolution or something, ain't you, man?
I like that. That could be. I did advertising for a long time at the Line Life in New York. That would be a good slogan right there. I like that.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Put that on some T-shirts.
Okay. Nice.
I got one for you.
Yes.
I got sunshine. On a cloudy day.
You know what?
That one's too old. That one's fresh.
Right.
Oh.
Listen,
but Matt, just to reconfirm in your spirit, he told me to tell you that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. They may drop you in a second, but I'll hold you up for a lifetime. So you keep continue to let your little light shine, and it will allow other people to unconsciously let their little light shine too because of your testimony.
Yes, sir.
I like
that. And you know what? Here's the other part of that song, This Little Light of Mine. I always wonder, why did God have a little light? Like, I want to say, I got a big light, so this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Like, no,
well, that was a battle of preachers put that together.
But if you shoot a laser light, you can penetrate some with your light.
They wanted all the light. They were telling you small.
Right, listen, yes, let me be clear. I ain't got a little light. I got a big light. I'm owning my light. And let me just tell you, you can follow my light and come into the light so that
LED.
I can shine my light on you so that you can see and be in your light.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
There you
tell
go.
Him you was born LED.
There you go.
There
you go.
I know that
one. I
know you. I might
before
that
one. I like that.
I was born.
We're coming
LED.
Up with some pretty
Listen,
good songs, but we good.
I'm telling you. Now, I'm going to have to borrow that one. May I borrow that one?
You can take it and run with it. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give you the pink light.
And I don't care what light it is, let it shine.
That's right. Mary, I thank you for the opportunity to come and to share my story and to be with you amazing humans who are who your heart is just pure. You know, I believe, go ahead, Mary.
I just, you know, it's an honor for you to be able to come on my show and for you to share what I've been trying to say. People like Joseph tried to explain, figured, you know what? Hear from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it wasn't for you and Tiffany.
Don't let him get away without giving us the book information and stuff, too.
Mary, you were right. Mary, you were right. You were right. You were right.
I know. Some days I got it.
Make sure and give the book. I was asking, I was making jokes, but I wasn't joking. I asked him where an auto book, because I was sitting listening to you talk. So make sure and give everybody your information on where we can find you. Mary has that, but we want to be able to buy your book and stuff too, and make encourage you in what you're doing right now. So make sure and give everybody your information before you exit the air today.
For sure. And so I the name of my book is called Got It, Get It, Give It. And in full disclosure, when I wrote this book, it was actually the beginning of me learning to tell my story. And it was the first time that I talked about some of the things that I was going through. So it's a very quick read. It's not an audiobook. It's only in soft cover. Because I wasn't at that time when I wrote it, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could be an author. Have you ever been in a place where you're like, I just need to prove that I can do something? And you're like, and just the fact of getting to put my part of my story, because even in that story, I talk about driving down Sunset Boulevard 90 miles an hour because I was drunk after getting in a fight with an ex, and I crashed my car. And there wasn't a whole lot of people who knew that story, and my family didn't want me telling that story because it didn't look good. And that's really the truth. It didn't look good, and so in that book, I tell that story, but I didn't have enough confidence in myself when I wrote it that I could really tell the truth of my story. So the book is a really short read. You can buy it, I think, for like 99 cents on Amazon Books or something like that. But I'll tell you this next book. So God has been calling on my spirit to write again. And so my goal by the end of this year is to have a new book out, where I really deep dive into the truth of my story and really get to the points that I wanted to bring up originally but wasn't willing to. There are other places on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is at Mateo Gill, M-A-T-E-O-G-I-L. I post and I share my story there often. Facebook, Matt Gill, M-A-T-T-G-I-L. And I share a lot of my story there. And then here at Do the Damn Thing. Do the Damn Thing. We're on a mission to tap into the world's untapped potential. Here to help people own their story. Go for it. Yep.
The Do the Damn Thing, where did that come from, the title? I love it. And we spell Thang, T-H-A-N-G, down here in the South. But where did you come up with that title, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Yep. So Do the Damn Thing was actually a creation of Tiffany Largy, who's the CEO of the company. And it was really just a bold statement of, we believe you're either doing the damn thing or you're not. You can't do things halfway. There's no gray. It's either a yes or a no, which is why we show up with our story and why I show up with my story, because I want you to either love me or hate me. I don't want you in the middle. I need you to make a decision. You either are awake or you're asleep.
Well,
even if you're
sense.
Half awake, you're still awake. There's no middle ground. So Do the Damn Thing came from the statement of, I am going to do the damn thing in my life, whatever that thing is in your life, whatever is on your spirit, whatever God is telling you to do, whatever keeps you up at night because you should be doing more of, you know what that thing is. And you're either doing the damn thing in your life or you're not. Now, there are moments that I choose, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I don't feel like I have the energy, whatever. But I'm making a choice. I'm not doing it. It's a conviction. That statement should convict you to do something. You're either doing it or you're not. There's no in between.
So keep going.
So that's where the thing came from.
You know, brother. And also, yep, you know, the big saying, hate to interrupt you, Matt, but the big saying is through the do the damn thing, and my big motivation to it is fear hates movement.
Mm-hmm,
you don't
right.
let the fear of the unknown stop you. Just taking those steps
right.
forward. Which is why you follow my story and you watch my progression of making videos from really sucky to mediocre.
You know, and Mary, you are a perfect example of doing the work. And for those of you guys that have been following Mary, and if you don't follow Mary consistently, you need to follow her because she is a perfect example of doing the damn thing, even without all of the answers, even without having it perfect. There is no perfect, by the way. So if you're trying to reach for perfection, you're already failed.
Oh, I give up on that.
The minute that you say, yes. And so if my one of the things that I teach in when I coach somebody is version one is better than version none. Version one is better than version none. Do a piece. Do something. And then improve it. But we can sit and we got to wait until or I got to wait until I write ...
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is tomorrow is not guaranteed. Right now, a doing damn thing we have had in the last year, it was actually almost a year ago on the 11th, on Saturday, it would be 1 year. I left Tiffany Largy, who's the CEO of our company. I left her house, and we had been painting our new office here in downtown Phoenix. I left her, and she disappeared for 4 days. For 4 days. Now, I work very closely with her. We're in contact with each other almost every hour for some type of communication. But for 4 days, I couldn't find her. Our team did not know where she was. She was completely MIA. Come to find out that she took herself to the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning. They took her into an emergency surgery, and she had a major surgery occur to her. She didn't have the opportunity to call anybody. She didn't have the opportunity to even call her family because it was so severe of what was happening. Moving forward, after we finally found out that she was in the hospital, we knew where she was. We knew that what she had undergone was a very serious surgery. We thought that there was going to be some healing and that her body would be restored, but her body did not respond the way that it was supposed to. Come to find out, fast forward, after many, many doctor's visits and like almost going to the doctor or seeing a new type of specialist every other day, she has been diagnosed with a rare disease that does not have a cure. She has a disease that is called NMO. It's a neurological disease, and the medication that they would normally recommend would be known to cause MS. I say all of this because in moments, she was not guaranteed life. Life is not guaranteed. We don't know. I could go outside and some random person, there's a drive-by shooting, and I'm gone. You can get into your car going to get a gallon of milk, and you get sideswiped, and you're gone. You could be going to the restroom and you have a heart attack and you're gone. Life is not guaranteed. You have to do the damn thing and do the damn thing now. And so I leave you with this. If you have a dream, if you have a passion, if you have a story, there is somebody that is waiting for you. They're not waiting for you for tomorrow. They need you to show up now.
Before you go, I got to introduce you to something. But also, today is Tiffany's birthday.
Today is Tiffany's birthday, yes.
So we wish her a happy birthday.
Absolutely.
I will share your birthday wishes with her. She will be in our office later on, and we have a huge celebration because we are very grateful that she is still here with us.
Awesome. You know, with Tiffany... You know, I look up a lot to her, but it was so cute, and I'm looking for the video. I can't find it. But, you know, you follow my story, you hear, you know, I have two autistic kids, and my son was nonverbal until about 6 months to a year ago. And now he's actually talking in sentences. So we just got done with Do the Damn Thing Night School. And so my kids know who Tiffany is and seen her, you know, in videos that I watch and the classes that I go to. And it was so cute because my son goes up to the computer screen and goes, "Tiffany, hello, everybody." And it was so cute because he doesn't usually that open and talking.
That is awesome.
You know, and I have it recorded, but I have to find it.
Please send that to me because I would love to show. One, we would love to have a copy of that. And two, I know Tiffany will just absolutely melt when she sees that.
I like that word, overcome. Yes, that's definitely overcoming right there.
Before you go, because I kind of the time a little bit because we got to, if you don't have to rush off, I'd like to introduce you to the president of the Hope Collection. We're honored with having him on the show today. Hi, Ron. Say hi to Matt.
Good afternoon, Mary and Doc. I really, really appreciate it. I apologize, number one, for missing the start and the running of the show till coming on at the end. And we certainly appreciate you making yourself available today. What I did pick up on here and what Mary has shared with me, we certainly are encouraged by what you're sharing. And I would like to share with you just briefly. I can't give you a story long, but 3.5 years ago, I had a stroke. And after being in the hospital for 3 weeks and unconscious, I could hear everybody, but I couldn't talk. And I heard the doctor say, "We'll send the body to Cleveland Clinic. Maybe they can figure out what's wrong with him." I will just tell you, from my heart, my spirit, this wasn't going to be the end of my life unless I thought Lord was taking me home. And since I shared from my heart, and even today, I was humbled and crying and saying, "Lord, okay, you're taking me home. Great. But Linda needs me. My wife just had a double mastectomy the week before. And here I am in this situation." And I will just tell you, my testimony is this. I don't know, like a thunder lightning bolt, 3 o'clock in the morning, the hospital blast sound went dead. And I heard these words spoken directly to my heart. "I gave you a mission, son. Get her done." And it's the reason I'm here today. And we're still rocking and rolling. Sunday, we leave for a cruise. We've been blessed to be part of this organization and help leading it. And I know that I'm surrounded, Mary's surrounded by people who have love, have respect, and have learned to understand what you're just sharing today. I'm really excited to hear what you said. I look forward to listening to the show on Saturday. And we'll please come back. And so thank you, Mary.
I love it. Thank you, Ron. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it.
It was Imhotep that said, "Eat," one of the most famous sayings in the world, "Eat, drink, and be merry, 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 because tomorrow we all may die." If we wait, creates a disease that you may not even heard about. It's called procrastination. They've often told us never put off today, what you can do today. And I challenge everybody that's listening, regardless of where you are in the world, stroll through your phone, stroll through your Rolodex, stroll through your tablets, and put your finger on someone. And if I was to show up and couldn't even see what was going on and playing like I was Stevie Wonder, I would say something to Ron Clayton like, "I just call to say I love you."
Yes. And, you know, the truth is, you know, even though we have social media and we have technology that was designed originally for us to be connected and to stay connected, we as a community, we as a humanity are more separated than we ever have been before. And it is our responsibility to reach out and to let somebody else know, "I see you. I love you, I appreciate you, but more just the fact of being able to, like, if you even think about how you walk down the street, a majority of the time if you see somebody, and I live in downtown Phoenix, and I am constantly seeing homeless all around. And I watch how people walk past them and never even acknowledge that they're there. Never even make eye contact with somebody that they're walking past. Never smile at somebody else. Why? Because now in this world, we walk around with fear like, oh, they're going to think I'm creepy if I'm smiling at them. Who cares? I want to walk around and I want people to know I see you. Just the fact that I recognize that you are here. And so I am very mindful when I'm walking down the street, unless I absolutely need to be on my phone, I am looking to make eye contact with somebody. When I walk past the homeless, I want them, hey, how you doing today? You know, I actually know four of the homeless guys who live around here who don't want to get help, but I to them in a way, and I'm like, hey, Harry, how you doing this morning? Can I go get you a cup of coffee? There's one guy who won't tell us his name, but we call him Linus because he walks around with a blanket everywhere. And he reminds me of the Snoopy character, Linus. And I'm like, and he knows that we call him Linus. I'm like, hey, Linus, how you doing this morning? And he just kind of smiles. He doesn't really talk, but he stops for a moment because for a brief second in whatever world that he is in, for a brief moment, he recognizes that I see him. And that can make a big difference in somebody's life. Show up for somebody today. Get on your phone.
For sure.
As you said, go through your Rolodex, go through your phone and call somebody and just say, hey, I love you. I see you.
That's
Mary?
Awesome. Mary.
Mary, Mary.
Go ahead, Ron.
Your thought? Well, go ahead, country boy.
I got one last story. I'll see if I can do it in 2 minutes or less. I often tell people, especially because of Lynn Kane saying, it's really simple. It's a KISS program. Keep it simple, servant. And the question is, again, we're supposed to treat people the way that you would like to be treated. So I proposed the question a while back, and just for a few cliff notes to let people know, your neighbor may not be someone that lives upstairs from you and you think they're over you. Your neighbor may not be someone that lives downstairs in the apartment and you think that they're beneath you. Your neighbor may not be someone that you always borrow a cup of sugar from, but you've never returned any sugar. Your neighbor is probably someone that you never before. Your neighbor is probably someone that you never met before that you may never meet again upon meeting them. Your neighbor is probably someone that you never met before, may never meet again, but upon meeting that person, if you have any type of spiritual discernment on the homeless and the guy that sleeps around the corner in Linus, you probably understand that approaching Linus, there is nothing that Linus can do for you. But please understand, it's not about you. It's about his glory. Question mark. How do you treat your neighbor that doesn't live over you, that's not beneath you, that's not across the street, that you may never met before, that you may never see again? How do you treat your neighbor when no one else is watching?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. How do you treat? And that comes down to the integrity of yourself. You know, integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is watching.
And then you may not understand. I let the lady last part of that story. This lady has been working for over 60 years in the community, helping people out and feeding them. And she got a divine word, says, you're not going to be here much longer. You may go home any day, but before you come, I'm going to be right there with you. Jesus himself is coming by to see you. So what happened in the process, the woman said, I'll be ready. When he comes. So early that morning, she got up and she heard the doorbell ring. And it was some homeless guy that she'd never seen before. She knows everybody in the neighborhood, but he was ringing the doorbell. And says, ma'am, they said you feed people. I'm hungry. Can you feed me? She says, well, no, not right now. Jesus is supposed to be coming by. The doorbell rang again in about 5 minutes. They said, ma'am, the guy around the block says you feed people. I'm really, really hungry this morning. I want to know if you could give me something to eat. She says, I'm kind of busy right now. Jesus is supposed to be coming by. Fast forward to the end of the tape. Guys themselves in man's own image. She was waiting for Jesus to come, but he already came by and she told him to go away. Isn't it hidden inside
story.
Of all of us, y'all? We decided that we are a duplication, a replica of the divine creator who made us in his own image, and he wants us to issue the same mercy and the same grace that follows you all the days of your life. Where was your mercy and where was your grace at when the homeless man came up to you and asked you for $2? Just a question. Ryan, back to you, sir.
I love that story and that analogy, because the truth is we, like, how we operate, regardless of, you know, it's just like in business. You know, you see people who treat a customer of who spends more money better than sometimes the people that are signing up for a free program or signing up for a $28 program versus a $5,000 program. The truth of the matter is you truly just have to really care about people. Here at Do the Damn Thing, we truly care. Like, we care more than, are you going to be able to make your next payment? We care more than, can you go through and can you afford this $5,000 offer to do dot, dot, dot? Like, we are committed to tapping into the world's untapped potential. And unfortunately, we have this community in this space called personal development that's out there. We have this space of religion that's out there that feeds on the people that are weak. Personal development, people are looking for something better. And so they offer something, an idea of creating a life. But then they try to get you to pay $5,000 for a program that you can't even afford when you're trying to just feed your babies that you have at home. You're trying to worry about can you make rent, but yet they're telling you, oh, in order for you to have a happy life, you have to have this program. The truth of the matter is, if you truly care about people, you're going to find a way for them. You have to truly care, and that's what's missing in our world, is people that are caring, which is why my voice and the voice of Do the Damn Thing has to be louder. It's why Mary's voice has to be louder. It's why your voice has to be louder, because you truly care. You truly want to make a difference in other people's lives. And the only way that they're going to find it is if you're telling your story, if you're showing up, if you're going to your local community programs and you're participating and volunteering and telling your story and showing up for people. Like, this should be a call to action to show up more, to truly show that you care. Stop talking about caring and actually do something. Do the damn thing in your life.
I think you found a home that you can be a part of to extend what you have just expressed. And the core of what you're talking about is what Joel Griffin, who for 40 years was my best friend, my personal business partner, personal mentor, and an example. The guy, the only thing he didn't do was he knew the, is he knew the guy who walked on water. And they've lived that kind of life. And I'm where I'm at today here, helping us do exactly what you just expressed. And for 10 years as being the president of the board of the Hope Collection. We've helped develop this whole program with the whole outlook of making intentionally, continuously committed to acting to provide services, systems, connections that make this a better world by being that example you just shared. And so I'm happy to hear your voice. I understand because I had some conversations with Mary that we welcome you as we go forward to making this a better world. And thank you.
You know, Ron,
amen.
It was after our last night school last year that Matt did this speech. I went on a rant on social media about the coaching industry and about how it's high ticket, high bucks, and you're not doing it for the right reasons anymore, which got me noticed by Kurt from the Hope Collection that brought me into with you guys and started the show.
Wow.
So really, it's yes. Matt's fault. You're stuck with me now.
Matt, I say we don't need no interpreter because we don't have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention. You heard Ron say we're very intentional. And when I ask you, what does that mean, do the damn thing, you absolutely answered it with precision, sir. You are right on course. We don't need no interpreter for hearing your spirit, feeling your spirit and what you do. And again, we welcome you not just to come today, but welcome come back as often as you can, man, because we are getting ready to start a revolution, and we'd love to have you as a super friend to join forces with us.
Amen. I'm right there with you guys. I'm right there with you.
And when your book is launched, we will have a big thing on here about it. Have you a special guest so we can announce it and promote it for you?
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I invite you guys to stalk us on social media. Like, look up Do the Damn Thing. Go to www.dtdtnation.com. You can find out a little bit more about us. Stalk me on social media. Follow me on there. And, like, just truly be connected. And so that way we can grow together. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I thank you for that.
And all the links are on this website, or on for this show. And the cool thing is, Matt and Tiffany, they may take a little while to get back to you, but they do talk back, answer questions. They do communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some social media platform that they hire someone to outsource. It's actual conversations.
Yeah, it's us. It's us. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but you know what? Life is not easy. And we believe in doing the right thing even when it hurts, even when it's hard. And we truly have to be, and like, we teach connection, and so we live connection. We teach authenticity, and so we live authenticity. And you're going to hear our good, you're going to hear our bad, and you're going to hear the ugly, because that is the truth of life. And the truth is where freedom lives. The truth is where growth, where you experience growth. Truth is where God lives.
Amen.
And that is where we live.
I knew he was going to say that. The truth will set you free. The truth is the truth is the truth until it ain't.
It's the truth. That's right.
Question, when's the last time God lied to you?
I may not have liked his answers, but he sure didn't lie.
I want to
thank you guys. I have another appointment that I need to get to, but I want to say thank you guys for creating this space. Thank you for being a voice for the voiceless. Thank you for being hope in a space where people are feeling like they're drowning. Thank you for bringing in entertainment to sometimes an uncomfortable conversation. Thank you for bringing humanity and caring and heart back into this world. And my prayer for you and for your mission and for what you're doing is that it be, that the volume be turned up, that your light goes from this little light of mine to this big, bright-ass light of mine.
and that you continue to do the damn thing every single day in your life so that others find the permission to do the damn thing in their life. I thank you, guys. Thank you, Mary, for this opportunity.
Thank you,
awesome, Matt.
When you get a chance Matt, you want to give me a call?
Yes. Yep.
Thank you. What were you going to say, Ron?
Well, I didn't want to really distract the call today because it really is important. I just got opened up my mail and my front door, and speaking of many of the things that we're talking about, I got my book, my personal autographed book from the author, Gavin Johns, who, a unique story of someone that, exactly what we're talking about, someone that reached out and touched a young man who's autistic, and he reached him, and most people wouldn't understand that this fellow who is autistic has turned around as an adult, and he is growing like crazy thanks to the love and the care and the guidance that he's getting from Mary. And he has created a habit of his life. He wants to help people. And here he is in a situation that he needs help himself, but he just goes on every day. Every day he gives out a hope card. And he's planting seeds. He's like, get Johnny Appleseed. Well, one of the cards he gave out turns out to be a professional ball player who is right now in the process. He starts training camp shortly, looking to get with the big leagues. Last week he played for Chicago and Colorado in the outfield, and he's a shortstop. But in his career along the way, he's had things like getting Tommy John's injury in his elbow, and when you're unbated professional baseball, that's not a good thing. And he's been overcoming it, and so he wrote this book, and he's part of our health team. And he runs, he has podcasts, he has a website and a program, Gavin Johns. And we're proud, another person that came to us. But the neat thing is he came to us through a gentleman that most people, you have to see the whole story, how he is helping others, which helps him. And I've seen this young man who had a hard time talking in public, but we had to talk through, we had the privilege of talking through this show. And he has grown significantly. Today, he not only can share a card to point people in the direction of looking for hope and what we can do as an organization to help them, these people anywhere in the world, but he now has taken the point where he'll not only put out that card, but he'll ask that person, what three things are important to you? And then he knows enough to stop and listen. And then when he hears what it is, he calls his friend, Bob Oakley, vice president of the Hope Collection, or he calls me, his friend, and we talk to that person and get them in the track to find solutions for them in their life. It's doing exactly what Matt just said, and that is to listen to people, hear them, and then take the steps to put them in a place where they can improve or whatever it is they want to do. So I want to share that with you. Well, I just got his... We're actually promoting and helping him in his mission and helping him do what he does. And he's now a friend and a partner to the Hope Collection. So I know he's been on the show, Mary. I think you've interviewed him.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Derek is the one I told you about, Matt, at the beginning.
Yep. I love it. You guys are doing some amazing work, and keep it up.
Yep. And it's all your fault.
Amen. I appreciate it. Listen, you know what? It's all serendipitous because there are people that are, that Mary and for all of you guys that are, your work and you showing up is what's going to give somebody else permission as well. And so all I did was I guided the conversation with Mary. I shared my story. I gave some tools and some tactics, and she did the work. And now she's continuing to do the work so that other people can find hope and pass it on. And that's truly what that's the core of what my book is about, Got to Get It, Give It, because it's about understanding what you got and then truly honing in on your skills and getting it and then giving it back into the world. giving it to somebody else. Got it, get it, give it, and do the damn thing.
Well, like you said, you found a new home, a new platform that we welcome you. And we can talk some more.
Amen. Thank you.
So we'll connect some more, okay?
Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. God bless each and every one of you guys that are here, that are listening. And thank you.
So we're almost out of time for today.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. And I want to thank Matt for coming on and talking about his story and Do the Damn Thing Nation, and all you for listening today. You can find Do the Damn Thing at dtdt.com, and you can also find Matt and the whole family on social media on all platforms. You can listen to our podcast on all major platforms. And tomorrow's show at 12 Eastern is Family Time with Bob Oakley. Friday is Golden Rule Society and Len Kane, 5-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee, Humanitarian Award, with special guest host, President of the Hope Collection, Ron Clayton. Have a good day. Have a great week. Bye for now.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
You all.
Mary, we'll talk later. Mary.